Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, I'm so glad to be back with you once again, and we have a beautiful day up here in Cleveland, Ohio. It's a suburb that we have the WHK radio station. I'm looking out over the valley, beautiful woods out there. I used to wander around there when I was a boy, and there's no animal life or very little, and now it's full of all kinds of animals, but the leaves have come out, and it's a beautiful day up here, and so we thank the Lord for it. You know, and we can look forward to a beautiful time when the Lord Jesus Christ will come back and this whole planet will be turned into a Garden of Eden. And you know that when he comes back, that immediately every sick person on earth is going to be healed. And he's already demonstrated that he can pull it off and do it. And it'll be a wonderful time for the whole world. And he will rule from Jerusalem, Israel, for 1,000 years. Now, if you read the Bible, if that's what you read, you just take it for the plain sense. I was thinking last week, you know, if you get your Bible out, you can understand the Bible. A lot of times people have made up some kind of a false doctrine, and then they take a scripture verse out of context. And I remember where people would say that Jesus had told Judas to go and to leave, and at that point they were going to have communion, he says, go and do what you're going to do. And then it says, Judas went and hanged himself. And then it says, go and do thou likewise in another passage. And then it says, whatsoever thou doest, do quickly. Well, that's taking scripture verses out of context. And a lot of people do that. But if you take a verse, every difficult verse is explained in other places in the Bible. And if you are a Christian, I don't care how educated you are, you can understand a King James Bible. That's a lie from the devil, that you can't understand it. Just read the passage over a number of times, and I'm amazed how many things that I can understand, and if I can, you can too also. But we're so glad that you're listening there, and I thank the Lord for the people that are listening. We check on the things that we get on the internet and the hits on the internet, and man, it's amazing from all over the world. I want to thank the Lord for you that are listening in Brazil. We had hundreds and hundreds of people check us out on the internet from Brazil. And that's just one of the places. So we're glad for all you folks from Brazil and all the rest of the world that are listening to this program. Today, we're going to talk about Martin Luther. Last week, I was listening to Moody Station, and I was listening to Dr. Lutzer, and he has put out a book on Luther. And so that interests me in the subject. I haven't bought his book yet, but I've read a number of books on the subject already, and I want to buy his book. I like generally what he says, and I like it because I agree with him most of the time. So we're going to talk about Luther today and the Protestant Reformation and what brought that about. And we're going to talk about, because we're upholding the apostolic text, the received text that is given to us, and I personally believe that this text was written by, I mean, I believe it, was written by the apostles, because this text can be taken back to the time of the apostles in many different ways. For instance, we have the italic text that goes right back to that period of time, and we have the Gothic text going back to Euphilus, but it probably was written before Euphilus even came out in 335. And these texts, different texts, they agree, called the received text, which our King James Bible is based on. So we're going to talk about Luther dealing with the Bible. And before that, though, we have Pastor Al Davis, Richfield Bible Baptist Church. It always has an interesting report on science and the Bible.
Well, thank you, Brother Bruce. And again, just a reminder to our listeners that you can go to the website at whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. There you can find out some more information about Bruce Musselman and his ministry. You can also find out more information about this program, and you can even listen to past programs at whereisgodsword.com. You can download past programs there in an MP3 file. And you can also find some links to some of the various references that Bruce mentions from time to time. All that at whereisgodsword.com. And this week, I just want to touch on something here. And this is an interesting passage that a lot of times when you read by it or through it, you just kind of miss the importance of a little phrase here, actually one word in this passage. And in Leviticus chapter 15, the Bible talks about a number of issues dealing with uncleanness and cleansing. And in Leviticus chapter 15, the first part of the chapter, he talks, I won't read through every verse here getting down to where I need to go, but let's just start here in verse 1. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When any man hath a running issue out of his flesh, because of his issue he is unclean." And we're thinking here of like a sore, an open sore, or wound, or a boil, or something that's running or oozing, or and we don't need to get too graphic with that. We all understand the principle there of having an infected sore or something that's oozing. And he says they're unclean. And it talks about in verse 4, every bed whereon he lieth that hath the issue is unclean. Everything whereon he sitteth shall be unclean. And whatsoever he whosoever toucheth his bed and shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water shall be unclean till the even. And he that sitteth upon anything whereon he sat hath an issue shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean till the evening. And as we're heading down to the verse I want to look at, we're going to talk a little bit about germs here. And this also shows the understanding in and of itself of germs that can be passed on. When that infectious pus that comes out of that wound or that sore gets onto the bed or onto the chair or something where somebody has been, it carries germs with it, germs of infection that can be spread to another person. And that's why when you go into sometimes to visit somebody in the hospital, they'll have a sign up that says, you know, infectious disease control, and you have to put on a gown and gloves and a mask and things like that so you don't pick up these germs. And so in and of itself, we see the understanding of infection passed by germs, which they didn't know at this time. But as they come down here in talking about this person that has this issue, and it gets down to verse number 11, it says, "And whomsoever," and I'll get down to the right correct verse here, in verse number 11, "whosoever he toucheth that hath an issue and hath not rinsed his hands in water shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean till even. And the vessel of earth that he toucheth that which hath the issue shall be broken, and every vessel of wood shall be rinsed in water." Now, here's a principle here. When you rinse in water, there's an action that takes place, and it this is brought out a little bit in verse number 13 here, Leviticus 15, verse 13. "And when he that hath an issue is cleansed of an issue, then he shall number to himself 7 days for his cleansing, and wash his clothes, and bathe his flesh in running water, and shall be clean." And this is important, because what happens when we wash in running water, not in a basin of water, not in a pool of water, but in running water, the dirt and such that's rinsed off is carried away. And along with it, the germs that are on your skin and that are attached to that dirt, it's carried away. If you bathe in the same water that somebody else has bathed in, for instance, all that dirt and everything is in there. Remember the old saying, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. People would oftentimes wash several times. Several people would go through the same water, and it would get dirtier and dirtier. So by the time you got to the baby, you might not see it in the water because it was so dirty. And you can see this, too, when you see pools of water that become stagnant. And anybody that's ever been hiking, you understand that you prefer to get your water from running water sources. I can recall when I worked for the United States Forest Service one summer, and we were in Colorado along the Rocky Mountain National Park, just south of it, along the Continental Divide. And whenever we would get water, we always got it for where the water was melting off from the permanent snowdrifts, because if you even went a little further down, the mule deer and the elk would browse through there, and their droppings would get into the water and carry giardia. So you got the clean running water as it was coming right off from the snow, so that you could be assured, or you know, reasonably assured of not picking up some bugs. Now, how did they know this back then? A specified running water. And that's what they rinsed in. That's what they bathed in, because it would carry the germs away. Even science and health experts today tell us that the reason that we use running water is that not only does it clean the dirt off, but that it also takes away the germs that are out that are underneath the fingernails and in the hair, and they get attached to the dirt. And as that running water washes it away, it keeps it cleaner, and it less chance of you spreading that infection to the next person that uses the water, because they also would use running water. So again, that little word there, running, should be rinsed in running water, bathed in running water, and it shall be clean.
Thank you very much for that report. And by the way, when they were bathing in that running water, there to use hyssop, which was a plant that would kill bacteria at the same time. Isn't that amazing? And you read the Egyptian Book of the Dead and the nonsense that was in there, we would never go along with that. But
they advocated using fecal matter to help cleanse somebody. One of the worst things that you could do.
Yeah, God, and Moses was educated in that, but God told him the things that we read in God's word.
Gave him a real education.
That's for sure.
I point one other thing out there, too. I like the idea of running water that cleanses away your dirt. It's the blood of Christ that ran to cleanse away our sin. And I think there's a good illustration there, too.
That is good. I love those reports. Well, by the way, Pastor Davis mentioned about some of the things that we have done. And one of the things we have is we have a number of a series on church history. And some people just hear that word history and they have a negative viewpoint, but it's talking about people. And I have done a series of tapes on the history of Bible-believing Christians, Bible-believing churches. And we deal with the history of the Bible-believing text going all the way back to the time of the apostles and ending in the King James Bible, the history of premillennialism. And there's Bible-believing churches that all through the ages held to these beliefs. I've taught this in colleges for the last 30 years, and I've collected books all over the country and studied this subject because it interests me tremendously. And so the true churches are there. Jesus says the gates of hell will not prevail against them. And the Bible-believing churches are there today all over the world, and they've always been there, and they've always taught much of the same doctrine, same Bible, same salvation by grace through faith in Christ, premillennialism, and it's been taught all the way through the ages. And on these CDs, you could look on the internet, or if you want to write me, my name's Bruce Musselman, P.O. Box 609-238, P.O. Box 609-238, Cleveland, Ohio, 44109. And it gives a history from Christ all the way to the present. I'm interested in where we came from and where our history is. And it's a great history going back to the Lord Jesus Christ and still being taught the same thing today worldwide. Well, I was listening last week to the Moody station, and I want to say that the person that founded D.L. Moody, by the way, that founded it, he was the founder of that, he was a King James man, and we've read what he said about it on the radio, King James only. He believed it was the Word of God, and he criticized anybody that corrected it. And but I was listening to Dr. Luther, and he put out a book on Luther, and I've read a number of books on Luther, and we're going to talk about him today, but I want to get his book too. It makes it interesting to read a wide variety of people on a subject like this. And so I thought today, since we deal with the authority of the King James, we would talk about Luther, Martin Luther, today on our program. We'll start right at the beginning of Luther's life, and he was born in the year 1483. And we know these dates sometimes in history, people don't like to memorize them, but they're important. In other words, we know that in 1492, Columbus sailed the blue. So Columbus discovered America in 1492. Luther is born in 1483. And so Luther was born and lived in a town called Eisleben, Germany. His father was a miner, and his father's very dedicated Roman Catholic, very strict, and developed a real conscience in Luther. And so Luther, when he got to the age of an adult and he was out walking one day, now some books say that a friend of his was hit by lightning, and I read another book that said Luther was hit by lightning. I don't know which one, but either one, it was quite shocking. And so Luther was scared, and he began to think about eternity, and I suppose you would too if you were hit by lightning. And so he prayed to St. Anne, and he decided to become a monk. His dad wanted him to be a lawyer. And so when Luther decided to become a monk, his dad was rather unhappy with that. But he ended up becoming a monk in the Roman Catholic Church. And he began to move upwards in it because God had given him a very good mind. And however, he had a very strong conscience, and he realized that he was a sinner, but he tried to do everything the Roman Catholic Church told him to do very faithfully in order to deal with the sin that he felt that he had in his life, because he had a very strong conscience. And the more he tried, the worse it got. And he got to the point where actually he said that he hated God because he just felt like he couldn't measure up, and this made him angry with God, and he got to that point in his life. And so he was a very frustrated individual. But he still moved up in the ranks, and he was invited to teach at the college in Wittenberg. And so he began to teach, and one of the things he was teaching was the book of Romans. And as he was teaching that, he began to think about what he was teaching, and he read in the book of Romans where it talked about the just shall live by faith. And he came to the conclusion, because he had read this and studied it, at first he was puzzled by it, that Jesus Christ had paid for all of his sins, and that God could justify him, count him as perfect and just, and that God had taken away his sins by simple faith in Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And when that thing dawned on him, that Jesus Christ has paid for his sins and he could become just in his sight, God's sight, accepted by God, counted righteous by God, he had the verse, the just shall live by faith. And that was the verse that he based it on. And he said at that time he felt like he was born again. And his life was totally changed. You know, God will change your life if you believe that. God knows God's standard is perfection, and none of us can measure up to that. We're sinners by nature, and we cannot work our way into heaven as Luther found. We cannot be satisfied. God cannot be satisfied with us because we sin. But Jesus Christ lived a perfect life, and he paid for our sins. And when we put our faith in him, God counts the perfection of Jesus to us, and our sinful life has counted to him, and he has paid for it 2,000 years ago. And when Luther saw this, it just changed his life, and now he can love God instead of hate God. Well, Luther taught in the Roman Catholic Church, and he was teaching a class on Romans and so on. And time had passed, and at that time there was a man named Tetzel, and he was in a at that time, Germany was divided into like almost counties. And Tetzel was in the next county, and he was collecting money for St. Peter's Cathedral in Rome. They were building it at the time. And Tetzel started to sell indulgences. And indulgences would be, instead of a person having to spend much time in purgatory or doing so many Hail Marys and Our Fathers, he could buy an indulgence. And at that point, those sins would be taken away and forgiven. And so Tetzel would come into town, and he'd have a big, they'd have a big parade in town, and everybody'd show up, and then Tetzel would give a message, and Tetzel would end his message something like this: "When a copper in the kettle clings, a soul from purgatory springs." And it was almost to the point, maybe you didn't like your wife too well, you know, and you're thinking of bumping her off, so this was the time to do it, because, you know, if you did it, you could buy an indulgence. You wouldn't have to spend time in purgatory. By the way, there's no such thing in the Bible. The Bible doesn't have a teaching like that. That came from Plato. And Luther, at this time, he says, well, what is going on here? We are selling salvation when God offers us a salvation as a free gift, and Jesus has paid for it by his blood. And Luther got very upset about this and very angry about this, because he said, God offers us as a free gift. How can we sell this? And God's offer is, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And the Bible says, by one offering, he, Jesus Christ, has perfected forever them that are sanctified, them that are saved, born again. And so Luther was outraged by this. And there are certain points in Catholic theology that hadn't been totally decided on at this time. And so at this time, Martin Luther, and he did this in the year 1517, he put what is called the 95 Thesis. These were 95 statements. He put it on the church door at Wittenberg, Germany. Now, that wasn't an unusual thing, because scholars would do that in those times. And these were statements that were up for debate. And so he put those on the door. And somehow the printers, and they had started to print at that time, and they picked up on that, and they started to spread this all over Germany. And eventually it got to the Catholic leading officials, and so he was asked to have a debate with a person named Echt, and they debated publicly. But now the country of Germany was on fire with this doctrine and teaching. Salvation was a gift, and now the Pope hears about it, and the funds start to dry up for St. Peter's Cathedral, particularly from Germany. And the Pope didn't like that too well. And so finally it comes to the ears of Charles V, and Luther is asked to go to what is called the Diet of Worms. Now, that didn't mean that he ate worms. That was a name of a town in Germany. It was Worms. And so he was asked to go there and speak in front of the Holy Roman Empire. It was neither holy and it wasn't Roman, but it was an empire of the German countries and the countries in Europe. And so he goes there, and it's interesting that on the way there, he is hailed as some kind of a hero. And every town he goes through, people of the town show up, and they just, like, he's a conquering hero. And he gets there, and the leaders of Germany are there, and he is there, and they bring his books before him, and they ask him to recant. And he says, unless you convince me from the word of God and from reason, he says, I will not recant. And so at this point, they put a price on his head, and Luther takes off and gets out of town fast. On the way back, Frederick of Saxony, who backed Luther. Luther came from Saxony. He sent his soldiers out, and they captured Luther and put him in a hid him. And Frederick did this so that Luther would not be taken and burned at the stake by Charles V. And so while he was there in that castle, he translates the scripture. And he translates it in a matter of weeks, much of the New Testament. Now, the thing is, he translates it from the received text. And our King James Bible is the English equivalent of the German Heilige Schrift that Luther had translated. But Luther already had a translation that was made. And the Bible-believing Christians from the time of Christ all the way to the time of Luther, they had what was called the Temple Bible there in Germany. But they had the true Word of God. And so today we have that in the Authorized King James Bible, carried on from the apostles, and it was found in many different texts. It's called the received text, and Luther translated it, and immediately there became a revival broke out all over Germany, and thousands of people came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it looks like our time is up, so that's all the farther we can get with Brother Martin. God bless you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.